Fred wanted me to talk about Dhamma practice in your daily life. So I thought a couple of key things, you know, as a Buddhist, as a practitioner. I know most of you are already aware things that I'm talking in here, but again, in Dhamma there is never too much. And also it is good to have reminders, you know, for the important points, so that it gives you some kind of a refresh, right, up to date. Excuse me. So, as a Buddhist, of course, first thing is taking refuge. Taking refuge through Sri Jul Buddham Saranam Gacchami, Dhammam Saranam Gacchami, Sangham Saranam Gacchami. Saranam Gacchami. Saranam, Sarana meaning take shelter, take protection, take refuge. Gacchami, I go. So I go for refuge to Buddha, I go refuge to Dhamma, I go refuge to Sangha. Very important thing that we need to really make sure that we understand is so-called Dhamma practice, right? Dhamma practice, meaning living it. Dhamma practice is not a formality, not a ritual, not a performance. That is like taking in, that's, you know, to live it, that's Dhamma practice. So when you take refuge in Buddhist path, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, meaning totally, wholeheartedly relying on Buddha. Totally, wholeheartedly relying on Dhamma. Totally, wholeheartedly relying on Sangha. Taking refuge meaning relying. Right? No messing around. So that's a very important thing that to consider. Like if somebody is new to Dhamma, or like, you know, come to Dhamma teaching out of curiosity, right? Oh, that sounds good. Let's go listen what they have to say. That's how actually you begin, right? That's how you, it's a very, very good way of a way to start. But then taking refuge, do you really want to, or are you sure you want to follow the Buddhist path? Does it really make sense to you? It's an important decision to make. Once you did, then for a true practitioner, that is one-way traffic. You rely on Buddha, you rely on Dhamma, you rely on Sangha, no messing around. I think that is in general to any religion, right? And there is a reason. There's a reason. When you take a path, you take a path. Right? It is different than, living or practicing diversity. Living and practicing diversity, of course, is wonderful. That's like to be open, to be friendly with everyone. That's a general human practice. But when it comes to the spirituality, then you have to have a path. You have to have a path that you actually follow. That's where you achieve further realization. And you know, so therefore, I oftentimes say this to because Buddhism is a new to the West. It's only some decades now, and it's a foreign thing. So if you are in a like a historically, in a Buddhist country, then you just by birth you believe you are Buddhist, right? in the West, because generally it's a Christian society. So by birth you believe you are, I'm raised Catholic, I am raised so and so. So now Buddhism, a new thing coming to your culture, and then it is good to actually study before jumping on, right? Once you take it seriously. So it's important. When you take the refuge, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, then that's your path. But yeah, so refuge is a very important thing, right? If you don't have a strong conviction, strong a commitment or the determination for the path, then you kind of you don't really have a path. It's almost like it's standing at the intersection, not able to make a decision where I'm going. There's this road going, there's all the roads connected on this intersection. You're standing there. Oh, this sounds good, that looks good, this looks good, I don't know, you're just standing there. Same thing, respect all culture, all religion, but you, in your heart, you have to have a path. So as a Buddhist, if you take refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, then that's your path. Okay? So that's important thing to consider. And then second, reliance on the Guru, right? In Mahayana tradition, particularly in Tantrayana, Vajrayana tradition, reliance on the Guru is even more important than Buddha himself. There's a reason there. Buddha had come 2600 years ago. We were not fortunate enough to receive and realize his path. Maybe we were born in some different lives, some different realms. We were not fortunate enough to see and learn and, you know, achieve enlightenment directly from Buddha. But our gurus play the role of Buddha. For us, our gurus actually bring the message of Buddha to us, right? Show the path. So our guru is like in a lot of the practices, they say Guru is the Buddha, Guru is the deity, Guru is the Dhamma, Guru is the Sangha, you are everything. That's how you practice. Try to see, you are everything for me. Because that's where you actually receive all the practices and guidances and then transmissions, everything. Right? Buddha had come and gone, we were not fortunate enough to actually get teachings from and get realized. So therefore, our guru is very, very precious to follow and to appreciate what the teaching of guru's guidance, their love and care, what that means to us. But then also, now, not all the teachers are gurus. You need to know that. Right? Guru is somebody you actually take as guru personally. This person, right? This person qualifies as my guru, so I can actually rely on this person. That's where you actually build the relationship, guru-student relationship you built, right? Particularly in the 21st century, in today, in the West particularly, it's all about, like, everything is taken as business. Everything is commercialized. Right? Education system is commercialized. Healthcare is commercialized. Spiritual practice and the teachings are commercialized. Everyone is out there marketing and promoting oneself. Who else are actually, like, you know, the real, and who else are fake? You don't know. It's hard to say. People are so fast to publish and go teach. You know? Just you read some books or hear some teachings from here and there, and you are ready to teach, or you're ready to go publish. And so therefore, those who are new have no idea who is real and who is, you know? And we don't know. Everyone is good when they are on a teaching form, like, you know, in the teaching, what you say, in teaching throne or teaching, you know, everyone is good. But we don't know their personal life, their the life behind the curtain. right? Then all of a sudden you just take refuge and you just kind of do this, and then after what you hear something else, people talk about something else, then you lose your faith or whatever, then that ruins your path, that ruins your practice. That ruins your, you know, I have seen people losing faith in Dhamma in general by having problem with a particular teacher. I've seen many people like that. So therefore, it is important. Like in the academic world, like when you teach, every semester, every quarter, there is this evaluation, right? That's different than the Dhamma path. In Dhamma, you do the evaluation first. You make sure you have a good guru, a good teacher. Once you realize, take refuge in, or you know, rely on, then no further evaluation. Evaluation is done before, prior to holding on someone as your master or your guru. Okay, very important. Because once you build that relationship, then it takes not only trust, but it takes what you call devotion. In all spirituality, in all religion, it takes a devotion. And then if you still, you know, have no trust, evaluation meaning not have faith completely, right? You're still studying, right? Evaluation, another word for the evaluation means judging. If you're still judging your teacher, then how can you rely on your teacher? So this is completely different in the academic world and the spiritual path. In the spiritual path, you check your teacher before completely relying on. Once you rely, you rely. Then, even though some people, yeah, you know, talking something else, you have to, like, you know, have an optimistic way to seeing that, you know, not to listen here and there. Hold on your path. That's a spiritual path. Okay? So
two minutes.
Maybe 5 minutes.
Oh, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 notes. I have not finished the first one.
maybe you can come back next year.
All right, thank you. All right, but I hope you understand, right? You understand that I'm saying things from my heart. Okay? Normally, when you study with, listen to Dhamma with different teachers, you take them as a Dhamma friend. Okay, Dhamma friend, where you can share, learn, back and forth. Taking somebody as a guru is a big decision. Okay? It's very important. All times. Ancient times, different. There's the commercialization of Dharma. All times, you know, all times, if you look into the scriptures and sutras, guru devotion meaning just hearing one word of Dharma. Just hearing one word of Dharma meaning guru, all times. Because people are, you know, like, how can I say, people are solid, right? People are not, help me. Not so much changing mind here and there, you know, like, right?
Solid, stable.
Yeah, people are stable, people are solid. Just, you know, they just not like a, not like a street dogs can sleep in your arms, you know? You know, it's just like basically you are not there to learn anything, you just go around and judge everyone. Oh, he's that, she's that, blah, 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 blah. But you actually get nothing. You never get benefit because your attitude is no good, right? You go to hundreds of speakers or teachers and you have no faith in anyone because you always see something wrong in there. That's when we are not purified ourselves, then you always see wrong to others. So therefore, today in the 21st century, it's good to learn from everywhere as a Dhamma friend. And then once you realize this person is good, I can rely on this person as my spiritual master, then you build the relationship, guru-student relationship. Once you do, no turnaround. Then you will succeed in your path to achieve some realization. Okay? So that's important part, important thing. Okay, I'm done. Thank you so much.